Michael Steele podcast listeners. Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now. I'm at this point in this relationship where I can refer to him as dear friend. Yeah, you know.
Oh, totally. Brothers
don't typically go there that early. You know, it takes some time, maybe some Courvoisier and, you know, but.
Please.
We got there quick.
Come on. We've traveled internationally together. Our spouses are friends.
Yes, yes. This is all good. Jonathan Capehart, he is the Pulitzer Prize winning journalist, member of the Washington Post editorial board, an opinion writer focusing on the intersection of social and cultural issues and politics, host of a great podcast, the K-pop podcast. He's also an MSNBC contributor, where we are colleagues together. He serves as a substitute anchor and has served as a guest host on Midday in WNYC on New York Public Radio. He was the deputy editorial page editor of the New York Daily News from 2002 and 2000 to 2004. That's how it all began for you, isn't it, Jonathan?
It goes even further back because I'm old.
You are a young-looking old black man.
You know what they say, BDC.
Yeah, it doesn't, right?
Nope.
I get that all the time. How old do you think I am? Oh, you're probably about 45. Baby, come on home with me. No, I'm not 45. I have no other way to put this. So you know me. I'm just going to put it as I feel it. There's some effed up shit going on right now in space with black folks. I sat at my desk the other night. I rewatched the death of George Floyd. And for those of you who don't know who he is, let me emblazon his name in your mind. He is the young black man who was killed by police in Minneapolis. And with the police knee in his neck screaming for his life, "I can't breathe." And then you had, of course, Christopher Cooper, who's a young brother who's a bird watcher and, you know, outdoorsman who's in Central Park. And this young white woman who's out with her dog unleashed. And all the signs say your dog has to be leashed. And he says to her, "Ma'am, could you leash your dog? See, the sign says your dog has to be leashed." She goes off. On him, and I'm going to call the police and tell them you're threatening me. What is it about some white folks that still have a problem with black people? I don't understand. I watched the Floyd video at my desk the other night, and I literally started to cry again because I'm thinking about all the young black men before him. Men that you've covered in your writings, for sure. I'm thinking about Mr. Arbery just a few months ago. And I'm thinking about my own sons who have to traverse this culture as young black men trying to carve out their piece of whatever they define the American dream is for themselves. And they have this to deal with. They can't be black and follow the rules like Mr. Cooper. They can't be black and drink at a Starbucks. They can't be black and jog. They can't be black and fill in the blank. How hard has that been for you as someone who covers and writes about cultural issues and the intersection of politics and society? Do you write about that?
Well, the way I deal with it, it's now not how do I write about it, it's how do I deal with it. I have not watched the Arbery video in its entirety. At first, I resisted watching it because I long had grown tired of watching what I call black male murder porn.
Right.
I watched it, the little bit of it I did, in order to write a piece more truthfully from my spirit. I have not watched more than 5 seconds of the George Floyd video, just seeing his head on the ground with that officer's knee on his neck and the passive look on that officer's face, mm-hmm. as if he is, you know, bending down to pick up a quarter.
With his hands in his pocket.
With his hands in his pocket. It's just too, it's too much to bear. I said on our editorial board call after Arbery, I said, you know, I haven't watched the video for obvious reasons. A few years ago, here in Washington, there was a motorcycle being chased by the cops.
Mm-hmm.
The chase ended with the police firing upon the motorcyclist, and he went down at an intersection. I saw the news reports, saw the stories. My husband and I, you know, that next morning we went out to breakfast. I'm walking down the stairs of my apartment. Outside, I look to my left and I see some police activity.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep walking. It wasn't until a local elected official sent me a message saying on Twitter, a DM saying, "Hey, this situation happened a block from your apartment. You've been so vocal on all these other shootings. Where are you on this?"
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it clicked. I had become so numb to watching black men being killed on video that I was completely blind to yet another shooting that happened a block away from my my apartment.
Yeah.
At a certain point, it becomes a matter of self-care. For anyone who's listening, who's, you know, thinking, "Oh, what a snowflake. Oh, what a this, what a that." You try watching someone who looks like you, someone with whom you have an affinity, someone in your family, you try watching them being abused in one way or another over and over and over again, one. And then watch the people who have done the abusing not be held accountable. And you watch that over and over again, and it starts to wear on you just in terms of your own psyche. The other thing that happens, and I'm just speaking personally, is that you start to feel the walls closing in. Back then, it was, you know, police getting involved and people getting hurt and or killed.
Right.
But then the conversation moved into Permit Patty and Barbecue Becky,
mm-hmm.
and all where every we you and I have long known that just everyday blackness can get you into some kind of jam.
It can get you jacked up, baby. That's all
but
I know.
But now we're watching it. Now, thanks to camera phones, this is the double-edged sword here. It's painful to watch, but thank God there's evidence. We have now seen, and we now have a list, barbecuing while black, staying at an Airbnb while black,
yeah.
sitting in your own home watching television and someone bursts into your apartment while black,
yeah.
birding while black, studying at an Ivy League university while black.
I mean, yep. Yep.
There are so many, jogging while black. I'm someone who goes out and does long walks and runs, but there's
you
a
run?
Reason well, I used to.
Okay.
I've gotten to that age right now. It's just brisk
it's
walking.
It's brisk walking.
Brisk walking. But, you know, there's a reason why I don't do a lot of walking in residential neighborhoods. I head down to the mall. I head down to the National Mall. I head down to the walkways and the pathways that are very wide open and spacious. Just one, because it's beautiful, but also it's just one less thing I have to worry about in terms of someone thinking I'm suspicious. Heaven forbid I walk by a beautiful house with a beautiful lawn and admiring the architecture and someone call the cops thinking I'm quote-unquote casing the joint. These are the sorts of things that we have to deal with on a daily basis that take a psychic toll, an emotional toll. But in the job that I have to give myself the room to acknowledge those emotions, feel those emotions, and then write something that channels those emotions into words that not only speak for me, but speak for other people who either don't know how to express themselves or aren't expressing themselves in the way that they want to. You know, one of the most gratifying things about my job is when I write something that is like truly, I'm only writing it for me and I'm putting it out into the universe because I need to say it. And then to have someone, just one person, write back to me and say, thank you so much for what you wrote. You wrote what I've been thinking.
That's usually not me. I usually, when I write back, I'm like, what the hell are you doing? No. What is this? Stop it.
Right. You liberal.
No, but that's a good feeling, though. I mean, that's got to be, that's affirming. That's affirming because the one thing that I take from your writing, which is why I like it, you throw out tentacles. And you look through your writing, and this is my interpretation, so forgive me, but if it's not correct, case,
oh, I'll let you know.
I'll get back on the couch and have my therapist work me through it. You put out tentacles looking for connections. And the thing that I like about your writing is that you're not looking for the perfect connection. You're looking, can you connect to this story in which it causes you to think about something, see something, understand it, appreciate it, and then react to it. You could, like you said, you know, someone will write back and say, oh, yeah, this was, you know, you wrote what I've been feeling or something like that, and that's always good. But I've also, in following your Twitter feed and the comments in the Washington Post under your articles, you also elicit the, you know, some of it's trolling. We get that. So carve that crap out. But you also get people who, like, I don't necessarily see it that way. I think you're overlooking this. And for you, that's, you're okay with that because the connection's been made around the story. In other words, I now got you thinking about this young man named Floyd. I've got you thinking about this young man named Aubrey. I've got you thinking about, you know, these people whose lives you otherwise wouldn't know about. Innocuous on a day-to-day basis, but for some reason, and we know what that is, they've been thrust into this space in an unfortunate, ugly way, and you need to see this and reckon with it.
Right, and you know, when I react to people, you know, sending out those tentacles and hoping people will respond and say, you know, oh, I didn't see it that way, or have you considered this? I don't write in order for people to agree with me 100%. Right. I write in order for people to understand what is happening from a 35,000 foot perspective. And if you have taken the time to not only read the headline, but to click the link and read the story and then come back at me with, I read it, and here's my take. My job is done, whether you agree with me or not.
Thanks for downloading this Michael Steele Podcast Quick Take. Now, you can always find us on Apple Podcasts where, guess what? You can review us. You can give us 5 stars. Oh, yeah. I love the 5-star rating. Or you can catch us on iHeart, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcasts. See you soon.
Your local Health Mart pharmacy is putting the personal care back in healthcare. We know you by name, not by refill number. Visit healthmart.com for the location near you. Health Mart, caring for you and about you.
Everyone loses golf balls, even the pros. When you need golf balls, go to lostgolfballs.com, the world's largest inventory of used golf balls. All the top brands, in stock, 50% off retail. lostgolfballs.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.